Welcome to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. This weekend, we are celebrating Global Focus Weekend, a time that we examine and celebrate what God is doing around the world. We have missionaries from Spain joining us today, and we hope you can be encouraged, you can be challenged, and most of all, today you will start praying about the work of the kingdom of God around this planet. Now, take some notes, and most of all, open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
Pastor, it's a delight to be with you and your congregation this weekend. It's already been a pleasure to get to know some of you Friday and then yesterday. And we have been sharing a little about what God is doing in Spain this morning. What I would like to do, well, talk a little bit more about Spain, but I'd like to open up the panorama and take a bigger view of what God is doing in the world. And the theme that you may have noticed on the door, some of the signs, is gospel access for all peoples. If we could go ahead and begin, if we could bring that up on the screen there when you can, in the back, we'll move forward with that. You might have wondered why that theme, gospel access for all peoples. Well, think about the word access. What does it mean? Probably the most common association we have is with the internet, right? Denied access. You need a password. How do you get access? Well, what we're really talking about is a way of getting near to, at, or at something or someone. Freedom or ability to obtain or make use of something is an official definition. But there's so many people in the world today that do not have that ability to obtain access to the gospel, to obtain, to get close to Christ, close enough to understand what the gospel is all about. We sometimes talk about creative access countries or closed access. Why? Again, because there are still places in the world where it is very difficult to come closer to the truth and be able to obtain entrance into the truth, to have the door open to understanding. So we're talking about this year, and in the years, the next year or two, you'll see this word a lot and this phrase a lot, of gospel access for all peoples. Now, the stories of people gaining access to the gospel are wonderful stories. That's what we just saw with Eric. And I'd like to share with you another story of another Spaniard, of Antonio. Now, he did not have access to the gospel for many years, for most of his life, actually. Antonio is a Spaniard, elderly, lives in a small town called Junquera de Henares, which you probably won't remember, but it's in the province of Guadalajara, a little over an hour from Madrid. Now, the recorded history of his town goes back approximately 2,000 years to Roman times. Although Antonio and his wife lived only an hour or so from the modern city of Madrid, they had never attended an evangelical church, in large measure because in those entire 2,000 years of history, there had never been an evangelical church in their town. Not until just a couple of years ago, when the Alliance congregation there was started. And it was started through the influence of a Peruvian couple, Miriam and her husband, from the Alliance in Peru, who had immigrated to Spain and for work reasons had located in this small town of Junquera. Miriam actually began working in Antonio's home as a maid because it was an elderly couple. They needed some help around the house. And through her vibrant testimony and her commitment to prayer, God opened up to this Spanish couple access to the gospel that they'd never had before. The access to the gospel had arrived in an unexpected way through a loving Peruvian maid. And as Antonio's wife declined in health, God softened his heart. There were many problems in the home. His wife has now passed away. But through all the crisis that occurred there, God drew Antonio to himself, and he prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. Amen. He now lives in a retirement home in that little town, but he looks forward to Sundays. He looks forward to the days that the people from the church come to pick him up and take him to church. Because as he told me when I met him, this is my family now. He wouldn't miss Sunday for the world, even though they meet in a little shed that's been renovated on the outskirts of town. The stories of people like Eric or Antonio gaining access to the gospel are wonderful stories, but they can sometimes be long stories in the making. In Antonio's case, his town had to wait nearly 2,000 years before the first evangelical church was opened there. And there are many, many other, in fact, thousands of other towns and villages and cities in Spain that do not have still a single evangelical church. In the country of Spain, that still does not have an evangelical church. And there are so many towns up in one part of the country that almost bleeds red into that corner over the area of Portugal there in the northwest. But the reality is, this is just one country. There are many other places in the world which would be similar in that, of course, the gospel has not arrived and they do not have access to the gospel. So you may wonder, but what about Spain? I mean, this looks awfully unreached. I thought Spain was a Christian country. Isn't Spain a Catholic country? Why do we even have missionaries in Spain or Europe? I've had people ask me that, and it's a good question. Now, it is true that churches abound in Spain, at least when you're talking about church buildings. And there are some pretty impressive ones. But, of course, the church is first and foremost people, not buildings. And sadly, there is little spiritual life in Europe among Catholics or Protestants because faith is on the decline. In short, spiritually speaking, Europe is very much a mission field today. Barely 2.5% of Western Europe can be considered evangelical believers, fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Spain, it's even less. Approximately 1% of the population. So while Europeans do have access to church buildings, they have only limited access to the true message of the gospel. Most do not have a clue about what it means to know Christ personally. As I shared, I believe, a Saturday with some of you, most Europeans and most Spaniards, sadly, are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches. Which is roughly the distance between the head and the heart. Sure, they've heard the name of Christ, but they do not understand what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ. And that's really our challenge and our reason for being in Spain, to help provide gospel access to the peoples who live there, both the Spaniards and the many other immigrant groups who have relocated to Spain. And that's what we want to look at a bit today in Spain and around the world, peoples gaining access to the gospel. People gain access through the contacts they have with other Christians. And I'm going to be mentioning this today. If you live next to someone who's not a believer, they have access to the gospel because you live right next to them. You are their access, as it were. And this is our challenge for being in Spain as well, to be with these people that need the Lord and provide access to the gospel, open the door to the gospel for them. And really, this story of opening the door to God's love is really just that. It's a story of God's love, God in His heart for all the peoples of the world. And like any good story, the Bible's story, this story of God in His heart for all the peoples, has a beginning and it has an end. And you can see from the beginning to the end of the Bible, this love story of God and His heart for the people. So let's take a look at that story briefly, and we're going to go to the beginning, all the way to the beginning in the book of Genesis. Because if we go there, we find God speaking to Abraham, and He gives him a tremendous promise in Genesis chapter 12. And He says, I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You see, God's story of His love for the nations begins way back in the beginning in Genesis with this promise to Abraham. But if you fast forward to the end of the story, the last book, Revelation, and you look there in chapter 7, we find the culmination of God's love for the nations and this story. Because there in John chapter 7, we read through the Apostle John this vision he had. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From where? From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. See the story? It has a beginning. It has an end. Well, like any good story, usually there's a key somewhere in the middle. How do we get from the beginning and move to the end? And we, of course, we know the answer is found in a person. The answer is found in Jesus. Jesus is the key. Look there in Luke chapter 2, and you have a really interesting account of how the parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, according to Jewish tradition, are presenting the baby there in the temple to be blessed, according to Jewish tradition. But there they encounter Simeon, an elderly man who, as you recall, is moved by God to speak the following words prophetically over Jesus from the prophet Isaiah. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." Speaking to God, of course, he's seen Jesus. But he says, "I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." See, by the Spirit of God, Simeon recognized that the Messiah was not just for Israel. He was for you and me as well, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, that is to say, for the whole world. And if God's love encompasses the whole world, that it includes all the peoples of the world. It includes Spain as well and all the peoples in Spain. And that's God's desire, is for all these people to have access to the gospel. Now, we long to see many of the people in Spain also around that throne worshiping God, as we have in the picture of Revelation. We're working among the majority Spanish people, even though they're not that open to the gospel. It's not that easy to see them respond in faith to Jesus Christ. We also have a large team reaching out to an even harder group to reach. There's over 1 million people in Spain from North Africa. Virtually all of them, of course, are from a Muslim background. Over the past year, we've seen 7 Muslims pray to receive Jesus through the ministry of our workers in Spain. 4 weeks ago today, 4 of them were baptized. Amen. And they took that step together, being baptized in the Mediterranean Sea, just north of Barcelona. We're also working among Chinese. We have a growing Chinese Alliance Church in Madrid. It's fascinating to see how God is using this ministry. Only God could move people from mainland China. Most of these are from an atheistic or Buddhist background, from central and west China, the least reached part of China. They come to Europe and Spain, actually trying to get to North America. But on the way, they find something more important because they're encountering Jesus. This church is baptizing about 20 new believers every year among Chinese immigrants in Madrid. We're also reaching out to many Latin Americans who have immigrated to Spain. Some 5 million people from Latin America immigrated to Spain over a period of about 10 years. Many have returned to Spain, have returned to Latin America because of the economic situation in Spain. Many others have stayed, and this has enabled us to open a number of churches. In fact, many of our pastors in Spain are also from Latin America, as you saw in the video. We even have 2 African-born pastors leading 2 of our Spanish-speaking congregations, such as Pastor Dominique Matondo, who has been in Spain for almost 30 years now and doing a great job pastoring a Spanish-speaking church. So it's exciting to see how God is opening these doors for us to reach not only Spaniards, but other people groups, other peoples that God has placed in Spain for a purpose. Because you see, in all of the turmoil and displacement of peoples that we hear about and read about in the evening news, and that's a big story in Europe right now, as you know, never forget that in the midst of all these terrible circumstances, God is also at work. Now, that doesn't make the evening news, but it's true. God is at work. And we are also trying to reach out to these people all across Western Europe through a number of our international workers, including in Spain. And again, we long to see many of them, along with the Spaniards, in that multitude worshiping the Lamb in God's everlasting presence. Because as we've already heard today, God loves you. And God has a heart for men and women, boys and girls, from all people groups. And all through the Scriptures, between the beginning and the end, we see this theme repeated. God wants to bring worshipers from all tribes and tongues and nations, from all peoples, to Himself. And I repeat, lest you've missed it, and I'll repeat it several more times, the Bible story is the story of God's heart for all the peoples of the world. And to me, it's exciting to be in churches like your congregation here. It reminds me of Spain, where you have different countries and cultures and languages represented. It's a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. God loves everybody, and He has a heart for all the peoples of the world. Now, bear with me, because I want you to know this is not just Raymond's idea. This is actually God's idea. You see this running through the Scriptures in both the Old and the New Testaments. Let's just look at a few verses to underscore this. I love Psalm 67. It's one of the many passages in the Psalms which use similar language about God's heart for the nations. This one says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You." Now, you may know a key term from the Old Testament. It's the background there for the word Gentile from the Hebrew goy or goyim. And in the plural, this is the common word used for non-Jewish people, really for us. I don't know if there's any Jewish people here this morning, probably not. But Gentiles are all the people who are not Jews. And this is very clear in the Old Testament. These are the others that are being referred to when the Messiah is described for Israel and the nations, the Gentiles. In Isaiah, we see this. In Isaiah 42, a tremendous passage where we read, "Here is my servant whom I uphold," God speaking through the prophet, "my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations," to all these peoples. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for all the others," for us, for Crosspoint, for the Gentiles, that is, for all the nations. Now, that's all throughout the Old Testament. Now, when we get to the New Testament, you're probably a little bit more familiar with the story, because here, in a lot of these similar passages, we find in the Greek a word which is also familiar to us, ethnos, where we get the word ethnic or ethnicity in the English words. And again, the idea is all these distinct people groups or ethnicities or cultures, God wants them to also be a part of His family. And God said He intends for all of them to have access to the gospel. Just look at a few passages. For example, Matthew 24. Pastor asked me this morning if I had a question for him, and I asked him, I said, "Yes, when is Jesus coming back?" Just kidding him. But actually, this tells us. It says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Passage you're a little more familiar with, perhaps, Matthew 28. We sometimes call it the Great Commission. Jesus came and said to His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." When we get to Revelation, another passage that we could read is in Revelation 15. "Who will not fear You, Lord, and bring glory to Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before You." Do you see a thread running from the beginning to the end? Old Testament, New Testament. God has a heart for all the peoples. Jesus came for all the peoples. This is the big story. Now, if the Bible story is about God's love for all peoples, let's go back to Matthew 28 for just a few minutes to this phrase we sometimes, or this passage we describe with the phrase, the Great Commission. What does it mean to fulfill this commission, to complete the task, to get the job done? That's the million-dollar question. What does it mean? Well, the answer, I think, is wrapped up in the title of our message, our theme this year for Missions Conferences, Gospel Access for All Peoples. And we have to be clear about this. We should be doing all that we can to reach people where we are. And most of you right now, I think, are living right here in the United States. God has brought you here for whatever reason, through whatever means. And so right here, we should be doing all that we can to reach the people in our own neighborhoods with the gospel. That's what it means for our neighbors to have access. As I mentioned earlier, you're here, the church is here. That's what gives them access to the gospel. And whole networks of churches like our Family of Alliance congregations give access to the gospel to people who are here in the U.S. and increasingly provide access to peoples from other countries where in their own land they don't even have access to the gospel. But for many, many other peoples of the world, it's just like that map that I shared with you in Spain. For many, many other peoples of the world, there are no neighbors who can share the gospel with them. There are no churches among them. So what does it mean to fulfill the Great Commission? Well, at the very least, it means understanding what the need is. So we have to begin with a little bit of a better understanding of who is unreached. Obviously, there's a lot of unreached people in Spain, but Spain is only one country. There's a lot of different people that define these people groups, and you can find different answers on the internet. But one very well-researched and solid website gives this answer. Approximately 3,989 people groups that still do not have access to the gospel. So while progress is being made in many countries around the world, there's still nearly 4,000 people groups who need access to the gospel. And these groups together represent some 2 billion with a B people. 2 billion people who live without access to the living water. You know, a lot of people live without access to potable water, to drinking water. These are 2 billion people who live without access to the living water. But beyond just that need, we have to then ask another question. Well, how do we then create gospel access? How do we open the door? How does the gospel reach them? Well, really, it has to come from the outside. If it's not there, it has to come from somewhere else and from someone else. If my people group that I live in does not include someone who can share the gospel with me, does not include churches that demonstrate how to know Jesus, then someone has to come in from the outside to create that access. So we call that then create access from the outside. That's the first thing that I want you to see, that it has to be someone who comes from the outside. But we can also recognize this, that you can measure how we're doing in fulfilling the Great Commission, because progress is measured by making followers of Jesus among all these other groups, to see that number coming down, 3,988, 3,987. It's probably less today than when the slide was put up. Hopefully it is. But Romans 10 tells us that there has to be someone from the outside who comes to share the gospel with these people. Someone has to go, has to be sent, has to create access for people who've not had a chance to hear before. These are the beautiful feet that are referred to in the Bible. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what our international workers are doing around the world. We're going into these places that still need the gospel in Jesus' name, serving them, loving them in Jesus' name, sharing the good news of Christ. But that's kind of obvious, probably for some of you, but I wanted to review this. We're doing this in all our churches this year. We're kind of starting over and saying, look, let's talk about what it means to have access to the gospel. But another question is, well, once you have that, open door. How do you keep it open? How do you maintain this access to the gospel? Once it's created from the outside, what will guarantee that it will be sustained and grow from the inside? Sure, it's good to see the first people come to know Christ in a people group, but how do you encourage that to grow so they tell their family and their friends and churches are established and continue to multiply within that group? Well, this requires what we could call access from the inside. You see, people groups need to have an expression of the gospel in the church that they can understand. Now, I think we've learned Spanish pretty well over the years. Still not perfect. Be encouraged. If my Spanish was as good as your English, Pastor, we'd be in heaven. You're doing great. But the reality is, if I come in and learn their language, even to the best I can with all my skills, I'm still from the outside. We need to see people built up from the inside, an expression of the gospel from their own people, people like Eric sharing with his friends. It's a lot more authentic and genuine. Not that it's fake from others, but you know what I'm saying. They can identify more with someone from the inside. Now, I grew up, as I shared with you on Friday night, in a Christian home. So did Mary. We grew up with access to the gospel. Many of us did. Many of you, even those of you from other countries, may have grown up in a similar situation with access to the gospel. But we need to see this in every people group. That's what you call access from the inside. And we want the expression of the church to be strong. We don't want to just plant a group. We want to see that group become strong enough to sustain its own ministry to its own people, to grow and to flourish. Let me give you an example. We transitioned to Spain in 1993. Previously, we did serve for 4 years in another country, in Colombia. Before, of course, we were in Colombia, as you heard this morning, Mary's parents served in Colombia back in the 1940s. As a matter of fact, missionaries from our particular family of churches, we call the Alliance, served in Colombia for over 70 years. But today, there are no missionaries from North America serving in Colombia. Why? Not because we don't like Colombia. Actually, I prefer to be back in Colombia rather than Spain in many ways. The reason is the church there now is strong. They have a local network of several hundred congregations, and not just the Alliance, but other expressions of the Church of Christ as well. There are thousands of evangelical churches in Colombia, and they are sharing Christ from the inside. That's what you call access from the inside. As a matter of fact, the Alliance Church in Colombia is now a missionary sending church. This couple serves with us in Spain, but they're not from North America. They're from South America. They're from Colombia. Serving under the mission alongside us in Spain, working with that team that's evangelizing, sharing Christ with Muslims from North Africa. And if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, keep this in mind. We need to provide access from the outside to those who don't have it, but we always need to work with the goal of seeing access develop from the inside so that within a people group, each succeeding generation can be reached with the gospel, can move from village to village to city, and they have an expression that is identified with the local people there. So this, of course, involves a variety of ministries. We don't just start churches. We also seek to train leaders. And this is our Bible Institute, by God's grace, that we started about 5 years ago in Spain. Huge answer to prayer. We're excited because God did several amazing things to open the door, providing both students and professors, enabling us to strengthen the work there in Spain of our network of churches. What is our goal? Well, we're trying to raise up strong pastors and leaders, disciple many, provide resources. That's what strengthens the church and enables us to fulfill the Great Commission. So, if that's in general what it takes to fulfill the Great Commission, and that's the big picture, what I'd like for you to do is take a deep breath, and don't worry, I'm not going to step off the podium again, but I would if it needed to be done in order to emphasize this, and that is a bold response to the gospel, stepping off into new territory. Okay? So what is actually happening now through the Christian and Missionary Alliance? Okay? That's why I said I wanted to open up the window a bit broader, bigger today, and not just talk about Spain. So you hang on for a few more minutes. I think you'll find this encouraging. And I'll hang on too. Gospel access for all peoples. Okay. This is a summary. The reason we're where we are is because on the left over here, over the years, this is what happened in the United States. You could say that. We began to start churches, served our own people, began to reach people still lacking access, did all the things I was talking about. These are the little diagrams you can read on the back door there as well, which illustrates a bit more how we continue to reach on to others. And when this is done, and when this is done well, what happens is really exciting. What happens is these church networks become strong enough to multiply themselves and reach out to other peoples. And again, this is how the Great Commission is going to be completed, not just by North American missionaries, but by people from all nations to all nations. As we multiply ourselves, not just going and starting a church, but seeking to implant a vision so that from the beginning they have a missionary heart and a desire to take that word on to their people as well. Now, in general, this is where we are in the world, right? There's the world. That's our planet. But stay with me for a few minutes as we just review what has happened over the last 127 years. I want to explain this a little bit because many of you are new to this family, this network of churches we call the Christian and Missionary Alliance, right? Well, the good news is over the past 127 years, God has blessed the ministry of many people, including Mary's parents, including many other missionaries that have served in both the U.S., North America, Africa. We have Jesse here as well. Many years of faithful service to the Lord. And so as a result, what happens? Well, these countries, which you will see there in kind of that grayish color, are countries where we have what's called an established gospel presence. These are countries where the Alliance has had quite an impact. In other words, there is, in the terms we were using earlier, insider access to the gospel. If you look over in Asia, you see Vietnam. An interesting thing about Vietnam, it's the largest church in the world that's a part of our Alliance family in terms of the number of baptized members. There's only a couple hundred thousand baptized members here in the U.S. as part of our family. You know how many there are in Vietnam? Over a million. In Africa, we have two countries with approximately a million members, baptized members. Why? Because the church there has grown tremendously, and God has blessed. And there is now what we would call an established gospel presence. Countries where our network of churches there has grown strong. They're able to reach their own people. Sure, there's other people that still need the Lord, but they've reached a point now where they're beginning to reach out to other groups and other countries beyond themselves. And I want to illustrate a little bit more with this color, kind of the brownish color I think you can see there. These are countries where we're also still at work in our network of international workers, missionaries with the Alliance. But these are countries where the gospel is not quite as strong. And so we have it a different color and describe these as countries where there is a developing gospel presence. Now, in many of these countries, we still have missionaries from North America. You'll see that Spain is highlighted there. In fact, several countries in Western Europe, we still have international workers there from outside that country. Why? Because we're still strengthening the church and seeing it develop to a place where they can have stronger insider access. So the interesting thing is, in all of these countries, if you take those two groups and put them together, then all of the countries that are highlighted here in kind of this gray, lighter gray, represent 52 networks. Actually, 52 partner networks in many of these countries around the world where we have enough local churches to where they in their own country form a what we call sometimes a national church, that is a network of churches. And they relate to one another internationally through what is called the Alliance World Fellowship. Now, those are just numbers to encourage you, but what I find really encouraging is this. Of those 52 networks, 22 are sending their own missionaries to other countries as well. You see, that's how you multiply your effectiveness. Not just reaching someone, not just giving them fish, but teaching them to fish. You know, the old saying, you know. And this is really exciting. This is one of the more exciting things that we experience in Spain, because I'm working with, there in the field office, international workers from other countries and helping to coordinate the work of a number of different Latino missionaries who are serving in Spain, from Ecuador, from Peru, from Colombia, from Venezuela, and it's continuing to grow, not just in Spain, but in Portugal, in Italy. And it's exciting to see the impact multiply as we work together as a family of churches around the world to take the gospel to the least reach. And speaking of the least reach, where does this put us? Well, if you can distinguish this rectangle here, some of you may have heard the phrase 1040 window. We won't explain a lot of that today, other than to say within that rectangle there, you have the greatest number of people groups and nations as well that are still in need of the gospel. Many of these countries, very, very closed countries to the gospel. And because results from the past in some of these other places we've served have enabled us to redeploy our missionaries. Remember, Mary and I were in Colombia. We're now in Spain. And there have been a number of redeployments like that. As a matter of fact, of the 700 workers from the U.S., international workers, 80% of them now are serving within that rectangle. Why? Because that's where the people who are the least reached are found. And we want to challenge our U.S. churches to join with us in praying this year and in the near future specifically for these needs. That's why we're giving the big picture and not just talking about Spain today. And you've already noticed that out on the entrance to the church here where you saw some cards for people groups. Well, that comes from this map where we've added some ovals to the map, and these represent seven large clusters of people groups. So what do we mean by cluster? Well, what we've done is grouped together different affinities. It may be language, it may be religious background, sometimes it's geographically, but these seven clusters of people are identified down below, and they are areas in which we have identified specific people groups as well. Among these seven clusters, you can go to the internet website, which is going to be indicated in just a moment, and discover that there are 70 people groups to be found among these clusters of groups of unreached groupings of people in which we already have alliance workers serving. So 70 countries, and there are many, many other people groups. Remember 4,989? Well, we have alliance workers in 70 of those groups today. And so what we want to do is specifically encourage all of our churches to pray for at least one of these people groups. You've got some cards out there in the entryway. Also on our little table we set up here in the back, we have some cards, prayer cards for us and also for Europe. That's one of the groups, post-Christian, European, and Latino. That's one of the ovals. So if you would just consider this, I think it'd really be tremendous. Just imagine all of our churches across North America praying together as we focus on reaching these least reached peoples of the world. Now, the reality is when you go on our mission website, you won't find a lot of these workers identified by name because they're serving in some pretty difficult places where it's not always safe to have your name on the internet. But you can write to this email address and get specific updates in a more secure way and be able to pray for some of these specific workers. You can also log on to the internet at the address that we had back here down at the bottom, www.cmalliance.org/peoples, and you'll find a number of different people groups there, and you click on those links and it will give you a lot of information about that people group. Some of those groups in one group alone, there'll be millions of people that need the Lord. So again, that's a quick summary of what God is doing in the world. And what are we wanting to say with all of this? Well, we're wanting to say, first of all, God loves the world. as a whole. God has a heart for all the peoples of the world. I want to remind you of that today and leave that crystal clear in your thinking. But also to recognize that this ministry is made possible for us. We want to not only say that, but say thank you. Thank you for your prayers and support for us and for the other 700 international workers who, due to prior commitments, could not be here today. On their behalf, I say also thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for praying for us. Because what really God is inviting us to do as an Alliance family is respond in a strategic way and to be a part of what God is doing in the world, to take the gospel to these people who do not still have easy access to the water of life, the living water of life in Christ. I want to assure you this morning, too, that the Lord is using the Alliance. Sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable to talk about yourself, you know. I enjoy talking more about the Alliance than Raymond and Mary, although we're part of this big family. You know what I mean. But the reality is, God is using the Alliance in some pretty amazing ways in taking outsider access and converting it into insider access. Raising up churches that then send out their own missionaries. It's exciting. And I work with some of these people from a variety of different countries. It's exciting because we see God giving access to new groups of people through these workers that He's providing. So please, join us in prayer. Join us in giving. The pastor will explain to you a little how that works. I just want you to know that for 38 years, every month, my wife and I have also given to Alliance Missions. Every month. We don't want to miss the blessing. This morning, I've given you a little bit of a shareholder's report about how those investments are generating dividends, eternal dividends.
Amen.
And so even though that's how we're supported, we ask the Alliance to deduct part of our allowance every month to go back into the Great Commission Fund. So we have some skin in the game because we know that God is at work. And it's exciting to invest in His work, His kingdom ministry. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for reaching out to your community. It's exciting to me, Pastor, to see what God is doing here at Cross Point. And we're part of a big, big family where God is doing similar things around the world. But think about this. What does God want me to do? What will I do to help provide gospel access to people who lack it? It might be going next door, talking to your neighbors from Asia or from wherever. It might be talking to your neighbor, period. It could be praying and saying, you know, Pastor, I really am stretching it to make ends meet now. I could probably only give a dollar a month. Well, give a dollar. God can multiply loaves and fishes and feed thousands. It's not how much. It's that we all have some skin in the game and then ask God to multiply it. And He can do that. And it may be that God wants you to go. The only thing I regret as we approached our last term, probably, going back to the field for one more time, I regret none of what I've turned my back on in terms of walking away from my degree in chemistry and Georgia Tech and all of that. I wouldn't exchange it for anything. The only thing I lament is that I only have one life to give to the Lord. If I were as young as some of you, I'd be really, really excited about the possibility of saying, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Might the Lord be speaking to you as well this morning? Are you open to give, to pray, to go? Father, thank you.
Cross Point Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Cross Point family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Cross Point Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216, or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Cross Point Podcast.